Hello, I'm John Butler, Investment Director at South Bank Investment Research, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Nick Hubble. Some 4 weeks ago, Nick made an extraordinary claim. We call it the biggest election surprise in British history. He made a video that has now been viewed over 50,000 times on YouTube alone. And in this video, Nick's claim is that notwithstanding Labour's recent election results, that is, winning the election results here in the UK, in fact, an unelected bureaucrat is now running the country. And so Nick joins me today to elaborate on this extraordinary claim, which has now gone viral on social media. Welcome, Nick.
Yeah, thanks very much. There's been a recent development I'm really keen to update people on, especially all those people who watched that original video. So I hope we'll get to that eventually, but I think we should probably start from the beginning, right?
Yeah, so Nick, could you please take us through this extraordinary claim in some more detail?
Yeah, the basic idea was quite simple. It's sort of embarrassing that we didn't see it at the time, really. But in its most simplest form, governments are incredibly over-indebted. They're dangerously over-indebted. And that's been true for a while now, but it's especially true after the pandemic. And in that situation, governments are reliant on their central banks to keep them funded during any sort of crisis. They're literally reliant on central banks buying the government bonds to finance the deficit. That, of course, happened during the pandemic when the Bank of England supported the government spending by buying bonds. ECB did the same. All central banks around the world pretty much did it. However, this masks the fact that governments are therefore reliant on central banks for their financing. And that creates an interesting situation because it means that the central bank can say, well, actually, we don't like what you're doing in the economy. We don't like these tax cuts. We don't like this policy. We don't like the rolling back of Green New Deal type policies. So we're going to allow the bond market to apply pressure to you. We're going to allow bond prices to fall and interest rates to rise or bond yields to rise and this to apply pressure to the government. And of course, we saw this in 2015 with Greece when they were debating with the Troika for their austerity measures. Whenever the Greeks would put up a fight, bond yields would creep up. And whenever they would give in, bond yields would creep back down. And that was the ECB massaging those bond yields. We saw the same with Italy in 2018. And then we saw it in 2022 with Liz Truss. So Liz Truss challenged the Bank of England and blamed the Bank of England for the inflation that happened. And so the Bank of England allowed the bond market to crash during the mini budget fiasco. And this exposed the fact that the bond market is controlling the government, but the central bank is controlling the bond market. And therefore, on the day of the election results, everyone was thinking that Sir Keir Starmer is in charge of the country now leading the government, but it's actually the Bank of England and Andrew Bailey who's really pulling the purse strings, as I've been saying. They're the ones really in control because if the Labour government tries to do anything that the Bank of England doesn't like, then suddenly bond yields will start to creep up and everyone will get nervous and then they'll do an about face and I guess, respond in the way that the Bank of England wants, just as Liz Truss did.
Right. So basically, I mean, Labour might talk about some rather elaborate plans for, well, who knows what it might be. But if for some reason those plans run afoul of the bank's preferences, then the bank is positioned to take action. And you could see something potentially as sort of extravagant and sudden as what happened to Liz Truss. But presumably, if Labour doesn't try to do something along those lines, if they kind of stick to a very centrist position, you might call it, politically, and don't, say, maneuver to try and break the bank with all kinds of elaborate spending programs or whatever it might be, then the bank will just remain in the background. Is that right?
Yeah, that's accurate. The way to think about this is like a drug dealer and their customer. While the customer is not addicted to the drug dealer doesn't really have any power over the customer. The customer can just walk away. And so the drug dealer's got to charge a good price. But once the customer is addicted, the drug dealer's in complete control. They can charge any price they like. They can demand that the drug addict does whatever they want. And that's the relationship. And so, you know, as long as the drug addict's compliant, then the drug dealer won't cause a fuss. But the drug dealer is in complete control. The fact that nothing is going on or going wrong sort of masks that, but it's still true.
Well, then what is the bank's priority? I believe that you've written in the past that what the bank is truly concerned about is trying to get the country through this huge, historically huge debt burden by inflating it away. Is that really what, I mean, is that the core priority of the bank and by extension, the sort of policy set that we should expect from the current Labor government or from any future government for that point, for that matter, until indeed the debt burden has been at least somewhat inflated away?
Yeah, this is why the different parties are so similar. It's because the central bank is the one in charge regardless. But you're exactly right. As you know better than anyone, really, the central banks are responsible for financial stability. That's their primary purpose. They want to keep financial markets and government bonds, everything stable, no crashes. And right now, the biggest crisis issue in the world is government debt. There's too much government debt. And so what they're really worried about, what they're really trying to do is bring down the level of government debt over time. Now, there's a few different ways that can be done. One's austerity, which didn't even get a mention during this election campaign. And we all know why after the experience from 10 years ago or 14 years ago. The next is, you know, growth. So what Liz Truss tried, you lower taxes, you try and grow the economy out of debt, you try and grow GDP so much that the debt matters less. And the third one is the relevant one here, because the first two aren't going to happen. And it's inflation. You can inflate away the debt. So a debt is a certain amount of pounds. Inflation makes pounds worth less over time. So if you allow inflation to get out of hand, then you devalue the debt. You make the debt burden easier to repay. And that's, of course, what's happened over the last few years. Now, this is especially true in places like Greece and Italy, Spain and Portugal. In those countries, inflation has actually reduced the debt to GDP burden a lot. I think it's 25% in the case of Greece over 3 years. So the proof has already been proven over the last few years. And my prediction is that that is a deliberate policy that's going to be repeated. So the inflation shock of the last few years was a deliberate attempt to try to inflate away the pandemic era debts. And it worked in many places. And it's going to be repeated over and over again until debt levels are significantly lower than they are now. And therefore, what is really going on right now in politics and financial markets is central bankers are pulling the strings in such a way that they're trying to re-engineer another bout of inflation over the next few years so that the debt is inflated away again to an even greater extent.
Well, okay, so we've really only seen round one is what you're saying, but the fact is that, you know, the inflation that took place during round one was clearly politically unpopular. And so if we're going to get into inflation round two or three or, you know, however many rounds we're going to see in the coming years, presumably that will also be unpopular with the electorate. Do you see a way in which the government, current government, at least for now, how might they try and deal with that? That is, will they come up with some convenient excuse for why inflation is running hot again? Because of course they can't do as Liz Truss did and blame the Bank of England, or they might get themselves in serious trouble. As for your original point,
yeah, you really grasped the idea here, John. They can't blame the Bank of England. This whole financial repression idea, which is what I'm really talking about here, the idea of inflating a wake up, it only works if people don't realize that it's a deliberate policy. Otherwise, there'd be a panic, and inflation would go out of control so far that dangerous to the economy and backfire. So people need to sort of be confused about what's going on and not understand who to blame and not understand what the source of the inflation was. I'm sure all of this is sounding very familiar because it's exactly what happened over the last 3 years, isn't it? Central bankers didn't know that inflation was going to happen. When it started, they said, don't worry, you know, it's not going to last for long. And eventually everyone panicked. Well, that's the sequence here. Labor governments are, of course, wonderfully good at coming up with creative reasons for inflation.
You know, they'll blame greed and all sorts of things.
I learned fairly recently, actually, that Australia, where I did my education, they had a price justification tribunal under a Labor government. The government literally required businesses to justify their prices, to explain why they were raising prices or why they had high prices. So who knows what the Labor government will come up with during their term or future term in order to describe and analyze and combat inflation. I mean, rate controls is a good example of what they'll do. But the point here is that the reason for the inflation I mean both what's causing it and why it's being caused, is operating in the background, and it's to pay off this debt. And that's what investors really need to be focused on, because that's the important metric. And all the political grandstanding, I'm sure it will do some damage, but it's not what's the key issue here.
Well, certainly one of the ways in which I could imagine anyway, the current government trying to deflect blame for another wave of inflation coming through would be to focus on some of their sort of popular agendas, such as their, you know, green plans, renewable energy plans. I mean, on the one hand, of course, we know they've already taken steps to try and prevent any renaissance of more traditional energy production in this country with any future development of oil and gas fields in the North Sea being you know, permanently put on hold. But then still promising that we're going to completely move over to a carbon neutral economy by, I believe it's 2030, which is practically tomorrow, when it comes to something like, you know, changing your energy infrastructure. Do you see that coming?
Yeah, so this is the key issue I really want to focus on in the video. For weeks now, I've been trying to rack my brains to figure out how central bankers are going to engineer the next bout of inflation. So the pandemic gave them really good cover to print money and buy government bonds, right? Because in a crisis, in a pandemic, in a war, people don't care about inflation. They just want the government to spend unlimited amounts of money. And the only way to do that is for the central bank to finance the government. So during the pandemic, nobody cared about inflation. Nobody cared that the central bank was going to buy all these bonds. Nobody worried about it. Same for wars. All throughout history, whenever there's an emergency. So what's the emergency going to be for the next round of inflation, right? If I'm predicting another round of inflation, several more rounds, actually. What's the excuse? What's the thing that's going to cause the government to spend so much money that allows the central bank to print loads of money to engineer more inflation? And it is, of course, climate change. It's, of course, you know, net zero, the energy transition, all of these things. Just as the pandemic's a crisis, just as a war is a crisis, climate change is a crisis, which justifies spending unbelievable amounts of government money and printing enough money to support that government spending. So this is what the central bankers are going to use as their crisis that requires enough money printing to cause the next round of inflation. This is how they're going to excuse what they're going to do. In normal times, central banks can't just print money and buy government bonds because everyone goes, no, we can't do this. It's going to lead to inflation. It's only during a crisis like the climate change one that they have the political cover to do it and to re-engineer another round of inflation to try and reduce that government debt. Obviously, net zero, the cost of that in terms of government spending is going to be, you know, mind-boggling. So it's just like the pandemic. It's the perfect example to set all this up. So I think that's the revelation I've had over the last few days, is that net zero is the perfect setup to repeat what happened in 2021 and 2022. With inflation, with interest rates remaining very low for very long, with that whole episode repeating, bonds crashing, stocks falling a lot too, house prices, you know, everything changing radically, double-digit cost of living crisis, all of these things, the next source of that and the next excuse for it will be net zero.
Well, if one sees this coming, of course, something which is going to have a tremendous impact on the financial landscape, on the world of investing, certainly for UK-based investors, it's helpful to have a guide to try and navigate it. And indeed, that is what you and I have been putting together and have now made available to subscribers of the Fleet Street Letter. Would you like to elaborate, Nick, on that series of reports?
Yeah, so we sort of gone through most of what's in those reports in terms of the setup. What we haven't really revealed here yet is, you know, how people should go about tackling this. So if you expect another wave of inflation, or several more over the next decade, actually, if you agree with us that net zero might be the next excuse, reason for why governments spend too much and central banks print too much, then what are you going to do next? And that's the report that we can only reveal to Fleet Street Letter subscribers, because it contains that actionable advice. So we can't give any of that away in videos like this. But it seems to me that over the last few weeks, that the idea that was novel when we first published it about a month ago now, that the central bank is controlling the government and engineering this inflation deliberately, that has caught on now. I actually saw a segment of GB News about this, which argued in almost in similar language these same ideas. But people haven't quite figured out, well, what are we going to do about it then? You know, how can people protect themselves, prepare, and things like that? So that's where we are now. That's the step that we're at. So if people are interested in the Fleet Street letter and reading those follow-up reports, which guide people what to do and how to protect themselves, all of these sorts of more practical, useful guides that follow on from our theories, then there'll be a link probably in the description below this video. It's not floating below my head right now already. You can also check out our original video that had all of those tens of thousands, I think 52,000 views the last time I checked, which lays all of this out in a bit more detail, has a bit more information about the Fleet Street letter as well. We just wanted to tell you as well that we've identified that the next catalyst for the next wave of inflation as well now, which is not in that original video or in that original report.
Right. Well, thanks for bringing us up to date on that, because we practically now see the setup for this round two of inflation to be blamed on, you know, again, the energy transition being so necessary and unavoidable that we just had to go ahead and do it, notwithstanding the huge wave of inflation that builds up as a result. And of course, that will remove any possible blame from the Bank of England, which, as you've already explained, is in fact the power pulling the strings in the first place. So yes, as Nick has explained, we have prepared a series of reports, a detailed roadmap for how to structure your investments to weather the coming inflation storm through the coming years. If you'd like to learn more, as Nick has explained, yes, you can click on the link description below in this video. And also, if you're enjoying these videos with Nick and I and our other guests, please also hit the subscribe button for the YouTube channel, South Bank Research, and that would be much appreciated. So, Nick, thank you for your time today.
It's good to see you.
And until next time, I'm John Butler, Investment Director at South Bank Investment Research.